Hey, it's A.
Hey, it's Fee.
And this is Tea with A and Fee, presented by the WNBA.
We are here in Tokyo for the Olympics.
So we just finished up our opening ceremony. Like, how did you feel? Like, honestly.
Okay, so I have a lot of feelings.
Okay.
It was really like, we got to go to the village. You know, we're not staying in the village. I don't know if people know. We're not staying in the village. We're staying in a hotel.
No cardboard beds.
No cardboard beds. We have plush king size beds. They're nice. So it was really cool to see the village. And we got to actually look in those rooms and like see how other people are living. And it's really cool to be there. We were there though. We came downstairs to leave at 5:30. We got back at what, 12:30?
Yes.
Like, and we walked in the arena for like 10 minutes. Walking in the arena, the 10 minutes honestly made it worth it for me. It was so cool, but it was such a long road to get there.
Like when they say we're like gonna walk, it's like a hurry up and wait walk. Like we were, I mean, we looked cute. We had our striped shirts, blazer. Cute. The drip was there, but it was so hot.
Literally the drip was
the
there.
The drip was there
dripping down my body.
Everywhere. It was so hot, but like, I think it was a pretty cool experience. I mean, we had to go through it, of course, but watching it on TV and being in it, I'm like, wow, like imagine just doing that every single year.
Yeah.
It was cool to see other countries though.
Yeah.
Because France was behind us and they were booing us and we were chanting. So it's pretty cool to see that, but it was one for the books.
It was awesome. I mean, it was such a cool experience. I can't imagine if it was at full capacity because it took so long and it was so, you know, like not a lot of people were there compared to normal. So it definitely would have been so crazy.
Right. But even before we got to the opening ceremony, just like as soon as we landed, we had to sit through the airport for like hours of just testing and screening and scanning and asking questions and different things always. And that was an experience in itself.
Dude, you know what's so crazy is we were there. It felt like we were there for so long. We were actually there for like 2.5 hours, which is a long time just to be sitting around.
Right.
When we were at the opening ceremonies, I was talking to like a baseball player. They were there for 6 hours.
That's crazy.
6 hours.
I wonder if they have like as many people as us though.
I know. I'm like, I don't, oof.
We knocked out 2 teams and staff. Plane was awesome.
Yeah, plane was awesome.
Plane was pretty cool.
Except there was 6 movies to choose from, so I'm glad I downloaded
them. No Wi-Fi. That was not the awesome part. But it was pretty cool. It had it upstairs, downstairs. Pretty nice.
Yeah.
But we got through testing. No negative. I mean, no positive test. Ooh, we made it through.
COVID-free. Knock on wood.
Yes. What's the coolest thing about Tokyo, you think?
It's kind of hard because we're in such a bubble. Like this is a real bubble. It made me realize what we were in last year for the WNBA was not a bubble. Yeah. That was like a luxury hotel. That was an adventure park. Because, you know, it's so strict with COVID. We literally go from, I mean, I go from my room to the food room to practice and back. So we don't get to see a lot, but I think the village is the coolest because it's kind of the only place we've been. And it was cool to see, you know.
Yeah, even when we went to the dining hall that one time, like it was pretty like nice to kind of be in an atmosphere where there's other athletes there and what do they do to get here and it's other sports.
Yeah.
So yeah, that had to be the coolest for me.
That was
like,
cool.
The village. Yeah.
And you know, we're coming here out of Vegas, your hometown. First of all, it was hot as balls. It was 117 degrees.
It was hot.
How do you live like that?
You don't. You just don't.
You don't live like that.
Yeah, you just live inside. That's it.
But yeah, All-Star and stuff was really cool. You know, All-Star is always fun. And obviously everything's different with COVID.
Yeah.
But
I felt like this year they didn't treat us like All-Stars. I felt like an outcaster, honestly. Like if we want to keep it real and say the tea is hot, I felt like I wasn't an All-Star. Like I just felt like I was there visiting and like being there for the All-Stars. I feel like we were still All-Stars at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had to focus on the Olympic stuff, but at the same time, I was like, dang, can we get a little love? But
yeah,
we were so cute on the orange carpet.
We were cute.
It was good. I'm glad we got a couple games underneath our belt for fans to see us before we leave and to be in the arena and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it also helped us as well for Nigeria and our like group play. So should be fun.
Speaking of Nigeria, we play them in Vegas. Yeah. And I don't know if everyone knows this. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you keep up with basketball a little bit. So you know about the Agumike sisters and Elizabeth Williams with Team Nigeria. And so you know, all that stuff with Neko. She didn't make the USA team. Yeah. And so her and her sisters were trying to be on the Nigerian team,
yeah,
along with Elizabeth Williams. And they said no.
That's like, I don't know. That's just tough. Like, mm-hmm. I can't stand it because they're just great players and they deserve to play and be on so many other rosters. But that's just a tough situation to be in. And mm-hmm. I felt really bad, honestly.
I felt too. Really bad too. I wish Neko could, I think Chennai was cleared, but she's still hurt. And I know Erica is on the team.
Oh, okay.
But Neko, man.
I know, but Nigeria's a tough one. They're mm-hmm. like full of energy.
First game.
Right, it's going to be a good first game. I would definitely say that.
It definitely, I mean, I wish Neko was on the team for Neko, but it definitely would have made this game a lot harder. So right. For Team USA, it's good news. For everything else, it's not good news.
Yes, another big news we had was Candace Parker being on the cover of
First 2K. Female athlete. That's amazing. So, that's so for cool.
Candace, yeah, man. That's seriously. Big time. Like, I don't even play video games, but I'm going to get that.
Just to frame it.
Yeah. Like, and even like that push for Candace into All-Star was like amazing. Like, mm-hmm. she got the slam cover and she had this cover. Like, that's just big deal for her. Mm-hmm. Got to give flowers to Candace yeah. always. She's doing her thing. And she was talking a little shit on
always.
Twitter.
Always.
And always. Yes. But it's pretty cool. I'm not a video person, but it is awesome to see people like play as me in a video game mm-hmm. and tell me about my rankings. So greatly appreciate that. Can't wait to do my face scan so they can get my eyebrows.
Oh, you
time.
Haven't done it yet?
No.
Oh.
And I still don't have eyebrows. So hopefully now that I have eyebrows, they'll pick those up.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, Ronnie, give me some acrylic fingernails too. Mm. Tune in. We need Ronnie 2K on that.
Yes. Can we do some editing? Can like we
right kind of
do editing on
need
like
some baby hairs, like lashes?
Yeah, some lashes. Ronnie, I like my eyebrows for them a little bit.
Talk to us. Y'all be giving
maybe
us
take
too
away
much
this double chin
and not here.
Maybe take away my little chin here. Do a little sucking off of that. Oh, it is cool to see yourself in the video games though, because I don't play either. But yeah. people, you know, tag you. Is that me? Is that right. really what I look like?
I'm like, dang, that's.
Sometimes dang. I see it, and sometimes I'm like, oof.
The guys, it looks like just like them in some yeah. cases. Like,
Candace's like, for this one.
Yeah, like, they're like smirk that they.
Yeah, that looks like Candace. That yeah. was good.
Yes, I love that. Right.
So this play yes. new with Asia, yes. inspiring the next generation of players. Tell us what that's about.
You know, it's just like a different avenue. Like Nike kind of sat me down and wanted to take a different approach to things of how they go about it and always playing new, bringing something new to the table, doing mm-hmm. something bigger than the sport that may be at hand. And it was pretty cool to do something because it allowed me to be me, you know, mm-hmm. like I feel like I have to be politically correct a lot of times or yeah. cancel culture and all that stuff. Don't want to be a part of that. But at the end of the day, if it happens, it happens. Mm-hmm. And this campaign allowed me to be myself and speak up for that next generation of young Black girls that wants to be in my position or be better than me. So I had a lot of fun just being myself. I had like a tutu on and then I was in sweats. So it kind of like brought out different sides of yeah. Asia.
It is like freeing being able to, that's what I like about our podcast, you know, freeing being able to not have to speak so politically correct and
yes.
speaking your mind. So like how much more comfortable are you now speaking your mind than when you first entered the league?
I think I was pretty outspoken when I first got to the league because that's when I had my first big viral tweet going when I tweeted about LeBron signing to the Lakers for something and everyone mm-hmm. just jumped on my case. Mm-hmm. Didn't really care. So I think there, that's when I was like, you know what? Like I have a voice that's going, it's on a platform and it's caring. Mm-hmm. So why not speak out for something that I believe in? So I think I've gotten more comfortable, of course, as it comes with age and just being in a league and understanding who cares? They're going to yeah. talk about you anyway. Just do yep. you.
Can't make everyone happy.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, we're just going to speak out for what we believe in.
Yes. So what issues are most important for you to talk about or speak up about?
Ooh, I would just have to say for the people that look like me, you know, like I feel like now is the perfect time to start speaking about that. And mm-hmm. constantly being on the forefront of that is huge because it's something I can really relate to and people can see that and want to learn more about that. And I can also just be myself. I don't have to kind of change it up, just trying to fit in, just mm-hmm. be me and continue to do me and speak out in that way. Okay, so before we go to break, we've got to give some props presented by the WNBA, where we highlight someone who is crushing it on the court. Sophie, please shine out this week.
Okay, well, as we all know, tonight is the inaugural WNBA Commissioner's Cup Championship game. So I'm going to shout out the one and only Jonquel Jones, mm-hmm. who takes the stage tonight with the Connecticut Sun. Stonecoal's on fire this season. She's one of the league's top leading scorers, rebounders, and she's knocking down three-pointers left and right. How about you?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, on that note, I'm giving props to Seattle Storm coach Noelle Quinn. She stepped up into the head coaching seat 6 games into the season and has handled the pressure and leading the reigning champs to as an absolute boss. She's been killing it. Noelle, you got it.
So the next part of the show, we have a very special guest, someone so dear to Asia's heart.
Oh, my goodness.
Mine as well.
Oh, don't introduce her. Person.
Would you like to introduce our new guest?
She's from North Philly. That's all
standing
I'm
standing 5'2",
weighing 130 pounds.
What?
Michelle Stiley. Welcome back, everyone. We have our guest, Coach Staley.
Thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, as you guys know, oh, go ahead.
I feel special. Thank you.
Welcome to the tea.
Squished in between us, too. Tight fit today.
Well, as y'all know, we are in Tokyo here at the Olympics, and you were a part of 5 of the 6. Like, just tell us, like, how that all happened. Like, what's going on now as, like, from where you're a player to now a coach? Like, what's up? Like, what does it take? Tell us, what does it take? We're new to this.
Well, it takes getting cut, because I got cut from the 1992 Olympic team. Okay. And when I got cut, I was actually college basketball, women's basketball player of the year, 2-time player of the year. I went to the trials. I thought I had a really good trial.
Yeah.
Only to get cut. But then I started thinking, this is tea, right? Y'all want some tea?
Yeah, yeah, spill it all.
Yeah, give it the tea.
So I started thinking, back in 1991, there was a world championship that I played in. Yeah. They brought Susie McConnell back for that tournament. Okay, so you got to think. You got to think big now.
Right.
Big, think big.
Right.
So I was wondering why they brought her back, because you actually had to be in school to actually play in that world championship. You had to be enrolled in school, and Susie was probably 2, 3, 4 years, maybe 5 years removed from college. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you fast forward back to 1992, Susie's there at the trials. I got cut, Susie makes the team. And 2 of the reasons why they said I didn't make the team was, 1, I was too short. Susie's small, she's shorter than me. Mm-hmm. And then 2, I didn't have enough international experience. So I couldn't do anything about my height. So I went over overseas and sucked that up.
Yeah.
And said that if I'm ever in that position again, I'm going to the Olympics.
I like that.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I got cut, got myself together. Now, most people, that's a crossroad.
Right.
There wasn't a WNBA. It was, you had to go suck it up and go overseas and play. And it's not like how y'all, it's not like you have gone
3 months.
Yeah. Oh my God. But y'all have access to the internet. You got,
right.
I had $2,000 phone bills because I was missing home. Mm-hmm. But I just learned a valuable lesson that you have to do what you don't want to do to get what you want.
Mm-hmm. Period.
So I went overseas, got 3 years of experience, came back to the trials in 1995, and I just wasn't going to be denied. So it started with that. I only wanted to do one. I just wanted one Olympic Games. That was my lifelong dream, Olympics and national championship. Mm-hmm. So once you start playing in the Olympic Games, you have like aspirations to play in more and more and more and more. And then you have, once I got into coaching, I had aspirations to coach and coach at the highest level. And I got 2 opportunities as an assistant coach under the late, great Ann Donovan. And then Gino, you know, gave me an opportunity to coach under him in the 2016 Olympic Games. And then now, I mean.
Look at you.
Man.
Look where we're at.
Man.
Look at that.
So do you think it's harder to lead the team as a player or a coach? Like, more pressure. Which one would you say?
Oh, more pressure as a coach.
As a coach?
Because nothing's, you know, nothing's in your control. Everything is player driven. Everything, you know, you got to execute.
Yeah.
as a coach, you have to give the players space to do their thing. And you just step in every now and then, just kind of guide them.
Yeah.
And I hope they're treating me like I treated some of my other Olympic coaches, in that just don't get in the way. Let us do this. We got this. We've been here before. We're just going to need some guidance every now and then, you know, instances in practice or games. We need you to just say, hey, here's an option for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the players are magical.
Ooh, we're magical.
Oh, I like that.
I like that too.
I mean, since we're like your first team as you coach, we got to be your favorite Team USA, right?
This team?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, the way she said, this team?
Yeah.
I mean, this team doesn't have a medal yet.
But yeah. So far.
But like, so far, like, we have to be your best.
The whole experience?
Yeah, like.
Yeah, because you're my only team. Oh, you're my only team.
Okay.
My only Olympic team.
Right, so you can say we're your favorites.
By far, my faves.
Mm. All right, that's all I wanted. You.
That's it, guys. You're
okay, but well, what's been your favorite Olympics to be at? Like, what was the coolest experience?
There are a lot of, I've played and coached in a lot of them. My favorite, it's probably 1996 Olympic team, because
first one.
Yeah. Because a lot came out of it. Not only did we win the gold medal in, you know, great
started
fashion.
Started this run for us.
Yes, started the run. But the relationships, the professional leagues that came out of it, ABL, that's the Forgotten League, and then the WNBA, which is still in existence. And it's older than the two of you, right? The league is older. How old are you?
No.
Same age.
Same, yeah.
As a league?
Yeah.
This is my 25th year of life, yeah, and this is the 25th year.
Oh, that's cool. So you all have only known the WNBA.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, it's
pretty damn
cool.
You
started
it.
Look at you.
Well, I didn't start it. I didn't start it, but.
Yeah, but you were a part of it. That team, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm proud of y'all.
Hey.
Thanks, Coach.
Oh, man. The nicest you've ever been to me. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, before you even make a comment. So we just had the opening ceremony. It was really hot, but a great experience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we always talk about the drip. So what was your favorite, like, Olympic opening ceremony drip?
Probably 2004.
Okay.
Really?
To
take us through the fit.
It was a skirt.
Okay.
A skirt? Not your favorite?
It was a mini.
A skirt.
Okay.
I need to bring those back.
I wish I could have seen BG in a skirt.
I would have paid for that too.
Yeah, that would have been a ceremony.
It was a Roots. Roots is a Canadian brand, I believe. Roots, R-O-O-T-S. We had like little Kango hats, but they were Roots hats.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mini. You had a choice, a skirt, or they had like a capris.
So we wouldn't have seen BG in the skirt.
Yeah.
But all of us, I mean, when you have on the same outfit, yeah. I know some people like to do certain things with the accessories,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool. You can see people's personalities, but my first choice wasn't a skirt, but it was cool because it was a skirt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't wear a whole lot of skirts, but to do it, and then I was the flag bearer. So
yeah,
there it is. It was so cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Had my hat.
Yeah.
Had my hair done.
Okay.
What was
your hair?
Flowing. Oh. Flowing.
You were
flowing.
Cute.
Thank you. Not as cute as Suda.
It was super cute.
It was pretty nice. That was nice. That was nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what I wanted to actually ask you about the flag bearer. Like, mm-hmm. first of all, what happened when they contacted you about that, and how did it make you feel when they asked you to be the flag bearer?
That's cool. Now I'm going to take, it's probably a lot different now that we're in like a pandemic, but here's how we chose the flag bearer. You, all the captains of every team at the Olympic Games, we come together in one room.
Wow.
And anybody there can bring in a candidate.
Okay.
So we sat through, it was probably about 15 to 20 people. And You know, I had to represent myself. My teammates told me, you go, you know, you're our choice. But I was the only one that was in the room. Everybody else was bringing in other candidates. Like,
okay.
And you have to understand, it is athletes who have overcome like life-threatening illnesses, injuries, and then it was like little old me. So I had to actually get up and like stand in front of everybody and say, well, my teammates wanted me to nominate myself. And at that time, I had a foundation that serviced middle school girls. Also was coaching at Temple University. Also was, you know, about to play in my third Olympic Games. And that was the extent of it.
Yeah.
So after you hear about 20 candidates, all different types of stories, we just take a vote. And then we take a vote, and they come back with the top five. And I was in the top five.
Me? Like,
I did not vote for myself, y'all.
Why? And then,
no, there's no proof. We can't go back now.
Well, I mean, people had like life-threatening.
Right.
Yeah.
Test your heart.
It did. It did. And then quickly you go back out of the five, you come up with your top three.
Oh,
really quick though. Once we got the vote in, it went by quick. Mm-hmm. And then I was part of the three. I'm just like, like really. And then we just quickly did another vote of those three and came back with the flag bearer. And I was like, it was me. And I really awesome. Did not comprehend what that was. So I left that meeting and met with Carol Callen outside. And I just told her, I said, Carol, they voted me as a flag bearer. She was like, what? You gotta call home. And they told me not to tell anybody.
Yeah.
He said, keep it quiet. So it was the coolest, very cool, probably one of the most gratifying moments, because as athletes and coaches, you aspire to be an Olympian.
Mm-hmm.
You just, I guess some people do now want to be the flag bearer. Maybe Sue wanted to be that since, you know, this is her fifth one. Mm-hmm. But again, you if you're in the game long enough, it brings out other aspirations, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
Jeez, snaps today.
I know. That gave me chills. That's really awesome.
I've never heard that story. That was really good.
Because it's been all about you.
Anyway, we're going to shift gears because you actually said, heading into our next segment, where you were talking about, you know, coaching at Temple and that you were playing, like, I know you're a woman of many hats, but like, how do you manage that? Like, how, I know Lindsay Whalen did it with Minnesota, but like, that's a lot to just do all that. Like, how did you do that? Did you sleep? Did you eat? Like,
did you have a planner?
Right, like how?
No, I mean, when you surround yourself with great people mm-hmm. that are singularly focused on being successful, they know what it takes. Like it, when I was coaching for how many years? I coached for 6 years playing and coaching mm-hmm. at Temple. And we had a lot of staff turnover in the very beginning because we just didn't have the right staff that could handle both of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Coach Boyer, Lisa Boyer, who's here, I begged her to come on our staff, like literally begged her. She was coaching in the WNBA with the Cleveland Rockers with Coach Hughes, who's here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a small world. So once I lost that staff member, I called her every day, seriously, every day. And I didn't even say hello. I just said, you coming. And I wore her down and she didn't want to come. She didn't, because she was like, I don't want to recruit. I said, you don't have to recruit, right?
You don't have to do anything.
But then she came and then I was able to do it because she's been a coach for a very long time. She knows the ins and outs of being a coach, all the administrative work. All of that stuff, you got to find people that can help you. I didn't want her to do the job for me. I want you to help me, teach me what it takes to be a good coach, you know, just all around coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just got a staff that has been together for a long time, and that's what it takes. And then, you know, each step, each thing that you're involved in, you have to have people that's committed to being successful and not use it as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, you know, the recruiting ploy was, our coach can't come see you, but you can come see her during one of the Olympic games. That's, I mean, not the Olympic games, the WNBA games.
WNBA games.
Yeah.
That's a pool. I'll commit. I can go see my coach. Who? Okay, cool. That means she ain't at practice.
2 years later, making that commitment.
She there you go.
Forever. She took forever, Fee.
You wore her down just like Coach Lisa. Yes.
I did not know I was getting myself into. But it's okay. We're going to keep. Go ahead, Fee. We're not going to get into.
But we were actually talking about this. I don't remember if it was today or yesterday, about the change in the game. Like, even from my freshman year of college to my senior year, I'm 3 years removed from that class. And I feel like I was so different, like in the way that I played the game and the way that, like, personality wise. So like, how different is it from you, like from when you were playing to the people that you're coaching now?
I can't even go there from when I was playing, because that was so long ago. Yeah. So I'll just go like, you all are 4 or 5 years removed?
Yeah. I mean, I graduated 18, 19.
Yeah, it's changed. Like, really? It's gotten younger, like the mentality, the maturity level. And I'm not saying everybody, but you know a mature person, like a mature player, because they stick out. The other ones don't stick. They all blend together, like, you know, what can we post?
Oh, yeah. What's, content.
You know?
Yeah.
TikTok. Everything is competing for
attention.
The content.
Yes,
the cloud.
Everything.
Yeah.
Parents are a little bit different because they are, yes. You know, when I got into coaching, parents were older than me. Now I'm older than the parents. So you can see that it's a lot different how people parent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, you know, they're lenient. They are, you know, they don't have, you know, I'm not going to say everybody, but they're just more lax because that's the way it is now. And I don't think it's not a good or bad thing until you run into trying to help them prioritize their time and manage their time. I'm almost, you know, I like the fact that we had NIL now because they have to grow up.
Yeah.
They really have to grow up and be a business if that's what you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't do the same things that you've been doing because you're a brand.
That is true.
So it's pretty cool.
Good luck.
Yep.
Dang.
Take that money out of their pockets then they'll straighten up.
Yeah.
We needed that. Oh, we needed that, Chi. Oh my goodness.
A little spending money.
Bumper cost of attendance. I got my check coming in, y'all. My Mojangles check coming in.
They might take that away.
What are
really? Cost of attendance?
I think schools are gonna take away a lot of things that
they get cost of attendance in it. What?
I think they're gonna take it away. Meaning that's gonna go
away.
But not
everyone is marketable.
Like, that's true, but
you gotta find it.
This is law.
What
now.
Are you gonna find? You know how many athletes though are at each school, and like some sports aren't, like, you're not seeing these sports,
right?
They're gonna get money.
Tough. All of these are dynamics of the NIL that people aren't talking about. Right. Like, student athletes should be advocating to keep their cost of attendance,
yes,
keep everything, because once you start making money, the school is going to protect itself because the school they think they're going to lose money. So,
you know, what's so crazy is when I thought about this NIL, like all this stuff that's actually happening didn't even cross my mind. I'm like, ooh, they can go to camps and make money. All I wanted was to host a camp, make some money, like sell some t-shirts or something.
Yep.
Right. Yep. After a game, just sign a couple.
And all this stuff that they're actually dealing with, like,
that's tough. They have no
I don't
idea.
Think it was intended even. Like, I feel like when they did the NIL, it was for that kind of stuff. Like, so you could do camps and you can do like stuff like that, but they're taking it like
it's a business. Like,
so
they can sign with an agent.
That's crazy. Stressful. You're already doing. I mean, I remember, like, you had school and basketball, there was barely any time for anything else. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to go to a party, it was exhausting because.
But you found a way.
You rallied.
You found a way.
Obviously, we're not going to do it, but I was tired.
It was tough when you had an assignment to do. You had to go to that kickback, but you found a way.
Well, now you
found a way to drive to.
Okay. 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 Okay.
We're going to get there later. Let's not jump the gun.
Okay. No,
we're out of the time.
Oh, we're gonna get there
you
later.
Find a way. At the end of the day, you find a way. We're going to the next segment. We're not.
I'll be in the tea segment. Don't you worry.
Okay.
See, this is. Anyways, back to you and your coaching coach. You know, we heard you were entertaining Portland when they had that opening. Okay. Yeah, we heard you were entertaining that. I was waiting to get a call and say, we'll be going to Portland, but it's okay. How was that approach? Like, did you really want the job? Or, like, do you ever think you want to coach in the NBA? Like, what was that all about? Take
this,
us through
that. This is some tea for real, because I really haven't talked about
come
this.
Come on.
Yeah, exclusive. Yeah. I had never had like an ounce of me that wanted to coach in the WNBA or the NBA. Mm. Not like none of me. Until somebody, you know, sought me out.
Yeah.
Like the Portland Trailblazers. And when you're being sought out, you have to vet it a little bit.
Yeah.
To see if they're really serious about it. Like, are they really serious? And I thought they treated me like a real candidate, whether or not I was, you know, they seriously considered me. I felt like it wasn't a fluke. It was, so I agreed to do it. And it was a Zoom, and there were like four or five people around, and they were just firing questions. And a lot of them had to do with the X and the knowing. They didn't really. They say you don't really have to know as much right now. Mm-hmm. We want to know how you would deal with star players. How would you deal with players who didn't play? How would you deal with just
behavior? I bet that is
behavior?
Most of the job.
That is yeah. Most of the job. And it was really, really a great experience. I took a lot of notes because if another female is ever in that position, yeah. I got the notes, and I'm going to give them everything that they ask me, how I answered it, what they said. Mm. But a couple days later, they decided to go in a different direction. But I thank them for the experience. I thank them for just treating me as if, you know, I was a serious candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you do with the star player that didn't want to play? They're like, star player, you know, doesn't show up to training camp.
None of that.
Okay, that's just one. They don't show up to training camp. Mm-hmm. What'd you do?
That's just like an isolated incident. Like, prior to training camp, I would have probably established a relationship. Like, I would have went out of my way, went to where they were, and not only just met him, but his family, his mm-hmm. wife, his girlfriend. I would have met every significant person in his life.
Both his wife and his girlfriend.
Every significant person. So I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
That's all I'm gonna say is T.
So I mean, if it takes that, it takes that. So it probably wouldn't have gotten to that point where, you know, you're missing training camp.
That's a good answer. I mean, hire you.
Yeah. I mean, that's who you are as a person as well. Like, you really like relationships and building that. Like, that's very key. And that's mm-hmm. why we're so close.
But, speaking of coaching jobs, how are you approached to get this head coaching job for USA?
How did I?
Yeah.
I think what happens with USA basketball is you have to let them know that you have interest. And then I don't think I got the job because I was a part of two Olympic staffs, like as an assistant coach. I got the job because of my service as a player. And then I coached a lot of USA basketball teams. I coached the Pan American Games. I coached U18, U19. Mm-hmm. I just coached another AmeriCup team. Yeah. So it is, you know, you just don't go from, okay, being a good college coach, so boom, you're an Olympic coach. It is, you have to put your, you know, your time and your effort and your work into coaching some of the younger teams. So, you know, they're watching you, they're looking at you, they're seeing how you deal with people, they're seeing how you deal with situations that aren't always, you know, nice. Like, this is nice. This is the best of the best. We stay in nice hotels.
Right.
That's not always the case.
Yeah.
You know, that's not always the case.
Yeah.
And you have to go through that because you have to understand not everything's going to be as you know, as nice.
Yeah.
You know, you work your way up to the national team, and I just felt like I got plenty of opportunity to help with my cause of being the head coach of an Olympic team.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, coach, it's time to get to the fun zone. We got games to play. We got tea to spill.
Yes.
Okay. Let's do the other bench one we talked about earlier at practice.
Go ahead.
Okay. We're playing start, bench, cut. Okay. Ooh, you know that game?
God. Yeah.
So start, bench, cut. Our coaches, Coach Reeve, Coach Dan, and Coach Jen.
Start,
bench, and cut.
God. I'm gonna go with an all female. So Dan's got a big cut.
Dang.
Right.
Dang.
Who am I starting? Shoot. Who am I starting? I'm gonna have to start Cheryl.
Okay.
Take the jacket off, and then I gotta bring the trusty mind off the bench.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Okay, that was good.
Point guard in the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bring in the other point guard. You don't lose ground.
You ain't had to cut Dan.
Let's spill some tea.
What's the tea? Do you have to spill with us today?
Oh, I have some questions.
Oh, wow.
Thank you very much. I have some questions for Coach. I want some South Carolina tea.
Okay.
I heard that Asia was a little boy crazy in college. What are some of those stories? I heard you reference Virginia earlier. I want to know what happened there.
Oh my goodness. And you, Asia, you cannot name drop nothing.
I'm not name dropping
no name
anything.
Drops, but all stories.
I'm not name dropping anything. Like, Asia just, she gets smitten with people. It doesn't matter if they're buying her dinner or never buying her dinner.
I used to love art.
Right. Art.
Hard. Like I would,
yeah.
I would
love art. Yes. And I gotta give you a little background, because even though she's got a mom who is like a disciplinarian, is take no crap. Dad, she can get over with every day of the week.
Your daddy's
Roscoe. So they put her in private school from first to 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Clamps on her. The moment she got to college,
you were free, huh?
The moment she got to college, she's searching.
I wasn't searching, but they were searching for me too. Let's not get it twisted.
So she had a little boyfriend, you know.
Do we really want to call it
a little boyfriend?
Okay, yeah. All right, that's great.
Down the road.
Oh yeah.
Down
that's Virginia. That's the boyfriend.
No, not Virginia. That was another.
A different guy?
Oh no, we're not gonna say that. If it's not Virginia, it's not a boyfriend. We're not gonna give that title to non-Virginia. Okay, go ahead.
You and Alicia didn't.
Okay,
y'all
that
went
was
to Virginia,
my, that
but
was
y'all my... y'all went to the other place too.
All right.
That wasn't a boyfriend.
Okay.
What other place?
You got it.
I mean, the same place Alicia Gray got her man. Bring Gray on the show, but. You know, Asia she came in my office, sat down, and just boo-hooing. So I'm like looking at her like, what's going on? Her and a man broke up. I'm like, okay. So I just talked to her. Why? You know, this, that, and the third. Oh, I like saying that because I hear other people say that. This, that, and the third. So I just said, okay, well, you should dry your tears, because you're going to be talking to him probably in the next 24 to 48 hours, definitely next week. So until you're able to just cut them loose, you know, wipe your tears, you know, wipe your nose, here's some Kleenex, I keep that by my desk, and just handle it. I think Asia at that time was probably trying to get out of practice though.
I wasn't mentally prepared, because I just went through a lot. Like, I was drained that whole night of just like crying and thinking, so I couldn't go out there and perform.
So did she go to practice?
I gotta protect my peace. I gotta make her understand it's not really a big deal. You're gonna laugh at this later on in life. If you don't, I'm gonna make it funny enough so you'll laugh at it.
Clearly.
And
here we are.
Oh, I got some other tea too. Can I tell this tea?
Yes.
I don't know what tea it is, but go ahead. Hey, what else?
Now, Eva is the funniest lady ever. right? So Eva went to go visit Asia in her room. And
I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping. She, like,
no, this ain't the same time. This ain't the same thing.
Oh.
It might have been the same person, but she told me she saw something in the trash can.
Oh!
She texted me while she was there. Something in the trash can.
Oh, when did she see the trash can?
Trojan man.
Yo!
Oh my God. Oh my God. It was the wrapping, y'all. It wasn't the actual thing. It was the wrapping. At least she was having safe.
You were protected.
Yeah.
You were protected.
Thank you.
You were protected.
Thank you.
So watch, young people, watch what you put in the trash. Your parents might come visit you.
But at the end of the day.
That wasn't yours.
No,
she had her own room.
I'm not doing this. At the end of the day, you know, life is full of lessons and I've learned mine. But also.
What's the lesson? What is it?
Leave your college coach out of stuff. Leave them out of stuff. Listen, you got to move how you want to move. I was smooth going to Virginia, though. See, let me tell you a story.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even know if we can cut this out if it doesn't make it. But, you know, had a little thing, little boyfriend was playing in Virginia. So I was like, all right, bet. Let's go. So Coach Staley, when she feels, it seems as if like when she knows we have something, she tries everything in her might for us not to do it. We never had film. All of a sudden we have film. So I'm like, Leash, how are we going to go to Virginia? We got film. So I was like, we just going to have to cut film.
Mind you, it's a game. I mean, we got a game coming up.
Yeah, we got a game like 2 days. Not that night, but the night after. So I'm like, all right, we can make it. Literally drove to Virginia, 5.5 hours.
Oh man.
Went to the game. Then drove back 5 more hours and had to be at practice by 9 o'clock. We literally got back into Columbia at like 7:30. Like, oh. We just made it. Like, oh. We.
You didn't play like, well either.
Yeah, I stunk
it
up.
Did she win?
No, I didn't know that. She held that until after she graduated.
Yeah,
that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, never. I'm never telling that. But Leash went with me. She stuck it out. Leash is my role dog. Love you for that. She was tired in practice too. But
get you a friend like Alicia Gray.
Yeah, we were doing homework on the road, like everything. We were good.
You're studious. See, look.
See, you make it work.
You protected yourself again.
You make it work.
You stay protected. You're responsible. She has fun, but she's responsible.
Responsibility on it, yes. So for everyone out there, you know, college kids, when you move, make sure you move with somebody like really cool and don't tell your college coach nothing. Don't they come snooping around, just keep it pushing.
Okay, so we heard crazy Asia stories. Do you have any crazy Don stories? Either one of you.
I always tell the story where
Let's see.
It was a hard practice. I mean, B, this is the worst practice ever. And so we have
You guys got in trouble?
Yes. So our practice is recorded. Like, we can really like watch the practice. So we were running sprints. And then that's when Coach Staley accused my teammate of not touching the line. So I was like, ain't no way. Like, no way. I was like, run the clip. So we go over there and look at the monitor. She touches the line. Coach Staley's like, nah, she ain't touch it. So B, I'm turning away from Coach Staley.
Yeah, not even in the sweet old Asia.
I'm turning away from her. And I was like, that's bullshit. So this like. She knows I'm not talking to her. She looks at me. She said,
I Michael Priced you, didn't I? I went underneath.
You like, did. She said, I gotta get a kill. She said,
what you say?
I said, Coach, I wasn't even talking. She said, no. I'm having everybody get online. Everybody running. So at this point, we already ran so much, people are like,
I was hurt.
What did you say?
I was hurt.
But no one was talking to you.
I was hurt. I was the only one that was talking, though. I was the only one talking before you said that. So who was she talking to? Like, really?
It made it worse, Pete, because she had media. So she's media, like, you know, we're prepping for a game. People are crawling, it looks so bad. I was like, come on, y'all. And I didn't talk to her at all. And I had a meeting where my parents had a meeting with her, and they were like, Asia, come up to the office. I was like, I ain't going up to that office. Like, man, Bunko Staley, done. And then I went up there, and I was like, nobody was talking to me. That was our little beef.
2 days. She didn't speak for me for a couple days.
Yeah, I avoided her.
It's okay. I said, she'll be back.
She'll be back.
It was so annoying because no one was talking to you. You just needed that reason.
To keep y'all, sprinting up and down the floor.
Why were you in trouble in the first place? Like, why was it a bad practice?
It's just one of them days.
You need to keep Fee around you.
No, it was real,
She's cerebral. She wants to know the origin.
No, it was one of those
days. I need the villain origin story.
Yes.
Coach Staley, we could wear earrings all whole year, and it'll be the last game of the season. She's like, you got earrings in your head. Get on the line. It's like, we've been wearing these. It's just one of those days where she's
about the pearl necklace, though. I remember that pearl necklace.
See, I would be rocking that. Games,
you'd be wearing it in warm-ups.
Like, exactly. Oh, and then all of a sudden, she's like, no, we need to take that out. And it's just
now, let me ask you, does she wear the pearls now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she created better habits. Like, I want them to create habits that they'll have as a pro. Mm-hmm. If you're not gonna do it as a pro, then don't do it as a collegiate player.
Man, that's when you're supposed to pop out. Like, you know, ESPN, those big Monday games, like that's when you pop out because you like
wear your Sunday best.
Yeah, like you there, like, ooh, we didn't really have tunnel fits. You just had to show it.
B is funny, y'all. B is funny. Your Sunday best.
Oh my goodness. Well, is there anything else you would like to share with the people?
Get it off your chest.
No, I mean,
I want to hear like a party crazy story from you.
I don't party.
When you, not in college or anything? When you first got to leave?
Singly focused. For real. Like,
you didn't
I'm
have a, one a, night where you were crazy.
In college, as a freshman.
Okay.
Freshman, you don't get you.
Yeah.
Counseling.
I chugged some vodka and orange juice, just straight down.
Ooh.
I'm from North Philly, so it really didn't do anything to
me. Okay.
But that was it. Like, no, seriously, I was like, I didn't go out. I didn't like the party.
Mm-hmm.
I just love basketball. For real, like, boring.
I feel it.
Boring, very, very boring. I'm kind of the same way now.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the same way too, yeah.
No, I don't think that.
I feel like I was always, too.
Mm-hmm. A student of the game.
Until 5 points was called. When 5 points called, I had to answer a couple times. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Yes, thanks for being on, Coach Staley.
Yes, you're awesome. You were a good guest.
Thank you. Was I?
Yeah, you were really good.
Some energy too.
Yeah, you were good. You're a good guest.
No, Fee's the one though. Fee slides her stuff in there. It's good. Yes.
Yes. So don't forget to follow on Apple Podcasts and subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our show is produced by Just Women Sports. For more great sports content, go to justwomensports.com. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter and YouTube channel and follow along on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. I'm Nafisa.
And I'm Asia, and you're listening to Tea with A&P, presented by the WNBA.